Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com. Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Welcome to this special edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Rather than discussing the commodity markets, we'll spend our time together today on the ACRE program. That stands for Average Crop Revenue Election. It's the federal government's new farm program, and one farmers and land owners have until the 14th of August to sign up for this year. Today, we'll hear some reasons to enroll a farm or unit in the ACRE program. That'll come from Doug Yoder of the Illinois Farm Bureau. And we'll go through the sign-up process and the paperwork. Stan Wilson of Illinois FSA will provide those details.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Stan Wilson of Illinois FSA, the ACRE program has been called confusing by farmers for the better part of a year. Now we're down to the deadline and producers have a choice. They must either stay in the old crop DCP or direct and counter-cyclical payment program or enroll their farm units, or some of them at least, into ACRE. This is complicated, of course, by USDA's August 12 crop production report because one of the triggers for payment under ACRE are the statewide yields it will contain. Now, many will want to wait until that date to make a decision on the farm program, yet FSA wants them to get started on the ACRE program paperwork today. How do they do that paperwork and still maintain the flexibility to choose either program after the August 12 crop report?
We have been providing some direction to county offices and to producers that contact us because of the situation you described with the new report coming out. We are concerned about workload, traffic, the 12th, 13th, and 14th, and 14th being the final day to enroll in DCP or ACRE. And we don't expect that that date's going to be extended, and we expect that it will be very busy during that time period. The way it works is if you have a DCP contract in our office, and if you present us with an ACRE election form that's perfected, meaning all producers on the farm, signatures are there, or their agent signing for them, then that cancels any DCP contract. So if you were to give us both a DCP contract and a ACRE election form at the same time, the DCP contract is terminated. It's not good. So what I suggest that producers do and counties advise producers do is one of a couple things, and it all depends on if they have signature authority or they're enrolling their own farm or if they have to go to Georgia or California to get someone to sign. Farmers typically enroll in DCP program, 90-some percent, 96-98% enroll into DCP program. So I recommend that they go ahead and file a DCP contract, and they have that on file and have it perfected. Then, if they're uncertain about ACRE, what I recommend they do is they get an ACRE election form and an ACRE enrollment form, and they get those signatures, and they make their final decision on the 12th, 13th, or 14th. And if they determine that they want to enroll in ACRE and not DCP, they bring in the ACRE election form and the ACRE enrollment form, and that will cancel that existing DCP contract. Now, remember, presenting us with an ACRE election form cancels the DCP contract, but if you don't give us an ACRE election form and the ACRE enrollment form, they're two separate forms. It's a two-step process. What you do if you only give us the ACRE election form is you cancel the DCP contract You've elected ACRE, but you've not successfully enrolled the farm into the ACRE program. The other thing they can do is if they don't want to go ahead and enroll in DCP and they think they're going to enroll in ACRE, is not enroll in DCP, take the ACRE election form and the ACRE enrollment form, get all signatures if it's a situation where they can't sign or they need somebody else to sign, and have those on the kitchen table or wherever and have a big post-it note on there that says, got to be in by close of business the 14th, and then they can bring it in and be enrolled in ACRE. The problem with that option is, though, let's say that report comes out and they decide on the 12th, 13th, 14th that they don't want to be an ACRE. Now they got to go back to the county office and get a DCP contract, which means they're going to have a potential crowd there. And if they have authority to sign for everyone on the farm, then they can do that. But if they don't have authority to sign, they only got 2 or 3 days to get that contract to Georgia or California to be enrolled in DCP, potentially.
Okay. All right. I understood that it was a two-step process with ACRE, so there's you've got to sign up for ACRE, and then there's the farm enrollment form, and you're telling me, I think, that both are due on August 14th, and it appears that there won't be an extension for the enrollment form either. Is that right?
That is correct.
And therein lies the larger of the two paperwork problems. Is the paperwork? I assume the paperwork is proving yields.
No. Not. That's actually a subsequent step. And the good news about proving yields or certifying to yields is to give us an FSA 658 form. The 658 form, the deadline for it is actually the crop reporting date. Actually, it's the production reporting date, which happens to be the crop reporting date. And we're talking about May 31 of 2010 for small grains and July 15th of 2010 for wheat and corn. I'm sorry, for corn, soybeans, and the other grains.
So proving yields doesn't have to come until later.
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
So really, it's a matter of, I'm going to sign. One of them says I want to sign up for ACRE, and that probably belongs to that belongs to the farm. And then the other one is,
they both belong to the farm.
Right.
And you got to remember, the first step is the election, and it's a one-time deal, because once you elect, unless you pull it back by before August 14th, you've elected ACRE. The problem is, my concern is, all producers on the farm have to sign an election form. And then on the ACRE enrollment form, only the individuals sharing in the payments absolutely have to sign the enrollment form. So I'll give you an example. It's a cash rent farm. I'm the operator, and you're the owner, and you live in California. You and I both have to sign, unless I have power of attorney for you, and let's assume I don't. You and I both have to sign the ACRE election form. But the form for ACRE enrollment, I get 100% of the payment because I'm cash renting from you. So you don't have to sign the ACRE enrollment form because I can use a cash lease that we have between us, a written cash lease, or I can use a CCC 510, which is a self-certification that I cash rented from you the year prior and that I'm continuing to cash rent. Or I can get your signature on that form, but let's say I know I don't need to, so I don't. But I send you the ACRE election form. You send it back to the county office and send it back instead of sending it back to me, and I'm expecting it to come back to me. And then I've got this ACRE enrollment form sitting on my desk. And so August 14th comes, and I haven't got your form back from you. And I don't realize you've mailed it to the county office. I just decided, I'm thinking, you must decide you didn't want to be an ACRE. Now, the ACRE election form has hit the county office. Let's also assume that the farm had already been enrolled in DCP. When the ACRE election form with all signatures hits the county office, that DCP contract is terminated. But I'm sitting at my home thinking, okay, my owner, Todd, didn't return that to me, so he doesn't want acre. We'll just stay in DCP. So I don't take the acre enrollment form in. I'm in no man's land now because your action of sending the acre election form with all signatures to the county office terminated the DCP contract. Me thinking I'm in DCP because you didn't send it back the form back to me, I don't deliver the acre enrollment form. I'm not in any program.
Okay, so the thing to do, I think, is that you get all the signatures on the DCP. You're signed up for DCP. You gather all of the, you gather the signatures for both acre sets, election and enrollment for the farms, and you keep them at the house.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then you go in.
And hand them one of them or the other.
And hand both of them.
You hand them either one for DCP, if you have an Orion Road.
Right.
Or two, you hand them the two sets for...
Well, I assume if they've gone in, they've already signed the DCP, and that's what
they're in.
75.6% as of July 20th had.
They're already probably, they don't really, unless they're not enrolled in DCP, they're already, then they don't have to, do they have to go back in and enroll again for DCP for the coming year? No.
Yes.
Yeah, so they got to do that anyway.
So we had, as of July 20th, we had 25% that hadn't enrolled, but that's a snapshot in time, and really we probably had 5 or 10%.
Yeah, so there aren't very many people that aren't, very many producers
that aren't enrolled in DCP
at this
point. I don't
know, Todd, because, you know, I'm thinking there may be this subset of 10 or 15% that have not done anything because they're pretty convinced or thinking seriously about acre.
Right.
They are the people that need to do the, they need to be aware they got to do something.
I guess the point here that I'm thinking is that by default, a farmer should make sure that he's already enrolled in that the farm's already enrolled in DCP at this point. He should gather all of the acre signatures at his home, meaning both the enrollment and the election, which is the first one, and then the enrollment paper.
Correct.
And keep them until he makes the decision.
To cancel out
DCP. And once he does that, then he walks into the office, and all the paperwork's done at that point, right? And turns it into the office, and then that cancels the DCP that's already in place, and that can happen anytime up to 4:30 on August the 14th.
Whatever close of business is.
Or whatever the close of business for that.
Summer 5, I think.
Okay. So I think I've got that right. I think that's the right thing for producer to do and probably will help very much. Stan, thank you so much for your time.
And I wished it was a less complex answer, but it's a complex program and a complex process.
Well, I think the answer is actually not all that complex. Just make sure you're already enrolled in DCP. Fill out all the forms and sign them for election enrollment, but do not, under any circumstance, until you make the final decision to enroll an acre, give them to the FSA office.
The only issue I take with that, and it's not really an issue, is if I'm absolutely certain I'm going in acre, then you might as well have turned it in. And if you're uncertain, though, or if you have any inkling that you may want to go in acre, I suggest you go ahead and do that.
Right. Okay.
And counties have been busy because of this acreage certification, and they're going to be busy with this final 3 weeks of sign-up, so they need to call now if it's an appointment system, or they need to go in and or call and ask them to run their documents so they can go in and pick them up, because they may not need an appointment if they're just going in to pick those up.
Right, and I think the other important point is that they don't have to worry about proving yields because that comes later.
Correct, absolutely, and that's a good point. The one issue that's going to come up, and it will happen, happens every year, is they got to be absolutely certain that they get all those signatures perfected. And by that I mean they either have to have the signature authority, an FSA 211, or if it's an entity, you got to the right person has to sign. Because if you've got a bad signature that's determined later after August 14th, then that farm's not in acre.
And it's not in DCP, and you can't get paid.
If they didn't enroll in DCP.
Oh, right.
Because, Todd, the member...
Right. I understand. It would revert to whatever's in place, but if DCP is in place, then nothing's there.
Yeah. And if a DCP's there and you hand us a not perfected, an unperfected acre election form, it won't cancel it. Because it has to be a perfected acre form, which means good signatures.
Okay.
So that's another reason to have a DCP filed, even if you're pretty confident you want to go an acre, because the guy that signed up the DCP first, and he has a good signature, but he screws up because they get the wrong person to sign for the acre election form, then we'll say the acre election form is not perfected. So that means the DCP contract, if it's properly signed, is okay. But if he did perfect his signatures on the acre election form, then that will replace the DCP just like they wanted it to.
Stan, thank you.
Mm-hmm, you're quite welcome.
Stan Wilson is with Illinois FSA. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. More on Acre with Doug Yoder from Illinois Farm Bureau when we return.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333 and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The last week of July ended much as the month began, cooler than normal. When all the final data is in from cooperative observers throughout the state, this will be the coldest July in 113 years of records, and not by a small amount. Temperatures this week averaged 1 to 2 degrees below normal in eastern Illinois and 2 to 3 degrees below normal in western Illinois. For the month of July, temperatures averaged 4 to 6 degrees below normal, and many locations in the state did not see 90 degrees during the month. Rainfall this week was generally limited to scattered showers and thunderstorms. For the month as a whole, rainfall was variable, ranging from more than 150% of normal in northwestern and in southern Illinois to less than 75% of normal in far northeastern Illinois. Rainfall across the central portion of the state was normal to slightly above normal. The first few days of August will be cooler than normal as another cold front sweeps through Illinois this weekend. However, medium-range models are indicating some warmer weather building in about the middle of the week. Temperatures will likely be back to normal levels, if not slightly above normal. Normal highs for the first week in August range from around 80 in the north to the low to mid-80s central and to the mid to upper 80s in southern Illinois. After the showers and thunderstorms that accompany the cold front this weekend, the next chances for rain will come again the last half of the week as an upper-level wave crosses through the northern half of Illinois in the northwesterly flow aloft. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. This is a special edition of Commodity Week dedicated to the Acre program. Farmers and landowners will need to make a decision on that program by the 14th of August. Doug Yoder of the Illinois Farm Bureau joins us now to take us through the program and what it might mean to producers through the year 2012. Doug, what are the most important parts the producer should know about the Acre program?
The most important thing about Acre is the fact that it's a revenue-based safety net as opposed to their other choice, which is strictly a price-triggered safety net. Their other choice, the countercyclical program, has a statutorily set price of $2.35 on corn that the market has to get below before that even kicks in. So that is not extremely high coverage in this current environment that we're in.
Is it... your recommendation that they look at Acre fully and that they participate this year?
Well, I will go partly there, Todd. I think I have no problem recommending to everyone, that every Illinois farmer, that they need to take a good hard look at Acre and run the numbers. When you look at coverage levels, as I mentioned before, that the two are vastly different. A 235 trigger for countercyclical and corn as compared to a current estimate of roughly $650 an acre for the acre coverage level. That's apples and oranges, in my opinion. The coverage levels are completely different. Now, even saying that, even though the coverage level is immensely better for Acre, in my opinion, I do know that there are certain Illinois farmers that will not take it for valid reasons. There are some hurdles you have to live with. There are some costs that you will incur. And obviously, there's no guarantee of a payment any year with either program. So you're obviously you're giving up some cost for the potential payment up through better coverage. Now, I will not say that every farmer should take it, because I do know there are certain circumstances that farmers need to take a look at. And these are individualized circumstances that affect each farmer, each operation, each relationship with a landowner or tenant differently. So I don't think myself or anybody can actually go out and say that every farmer should take acre or every farmer should not take acre. It's not that simple.
Yes,
it really is an individual decision. But I certainly encourage every farmer to run the numbers, because the numbers we're talking about are so different in coverage levels. I think farmers at least owe it to themselves to see what their what the acre coverage level would provide them, so they can make a well-informed, rational decision.
I'll come back to running the numbers in just a moment. There is some information out there, concerns by producers that they're signing up for something that's a little different in the way of the paperwork that they have to do to begin with. And I'm wondering if that is just misinformation, if it's true, if it's false, if there are different things that have to be done. It appears from the USDA website that the primary piece of paper producers would be interested in or concerned about would be the income portion, or the proof of their own income on and off farm. Is that any different than what they're already signed up for on the 2008 farm bill, or under the normal regular program?
Actually, it's not. That is that. Let me back up. You're exactly right in saying that the new requirements for payment eligibility, for program eligibility and payment limits, is stricter and tighter than previously. But that is not an acre issue. That's a 2008 farm bill issue. Regardless of whether you sign up for acre or the other program, that's part of the program. It's not acre specific.
And then the rest of that sign-up has gotten much easier, I believe, in the past month and a half or 2 months after they came out with some new regulations on how you prove yields.
That is correct. I have no problem in stating that I think the rules that just came out recently concerning what farmers must do to prove their individual farm yields, I think they're very farmer-friendly. I really do. I think that's a good list. I think farmers won't have a problem finding something on the list that they can use to prove their past yields. Top of the list is crop insurance records. They are allowing use of crop insurance, either APH yield records, or if you've had a claim or an audit, you can use those records to prove past yield. So I think that's a tremendous help in making this easier.
So let's go back to running the numbers. Are you using the FarmDoc site and the calculators there to do that?
Yes. There's numerous sites, and obviously some sites attract certain people and others like different sites. University of Illinois' FarmDoc site has a wonderful acre calculator, in my opinion, that, yes, I've encouraged Illinois farmers to use that to run the numbers, absolutely.
And once they start to run the numbers, I suppose the final thing that they really have to think about is what the payout might be this year, given prices and their crop conditions, and then whether that pays for the entire program, because they have to sign up not only for this crop year, but through, 2012. And so they have to sort of weigh out whether which program set might be more worthwhile over time.
Well, that's right. And personally, in the U of I website that the calculator we're talking about as well as a couple other calculators out there also, all do a good job in helping farmers calculate their costs. In other words, how much they're giving up in direct payments for those 4 years, and compare that to potential payouts and what would have to incur to receive a payment and how much that could possibly be. University of Illinois has also done some tremendous research for us, taking a look at historically at acre, along the lines of saying, if we had an acre for the past 31 years, given past state yields and prices, how many times would have it triggered a payment in the state of Illinois? And obviously, acre is a dual trigger. It has a state trigger that must be met and a per farm trigger that must be met each crop year for it to trigger a payment. Now, obviously, U of I doesn't have access to everyone's individual farm records, but they did do some state-level analysis for us. And then also, to take it one step further, they did some FBFM farm-level analysis for us. So all that data is available on the U of I site, and it does a tremendous job in helping farmers get a handle on the likelihood of a payment historically and what size those payments would have been.
What are the other sites that you look at and use?
Iowa State has a very nice acre calculator also, and so does Texas A&M. And I encourage people to get on FSA's website. They've started coming up with some tools also to help producers with this. They have some nice handouts on their FSA Farm Bill website, as well as some calculators of their own.
What are the things that producers most often ask you about the program? Do they actually find it confusing? That's one of the things that we hear often, that, well, I'm not going to do it because I find it confusing. I actually not sure that I believe that, but that maybe they just were waiting it out more than anything else, because the closer you get to the time for sign up, the easier it is to figure out whether it's going to pay out this year or not.
Mm-hmm. I certainly think that in the early stages, you know, back in the winter and spring of 2009, when we were doing a lot of acre meetings, farm bill meetings, I do think it was confusing at that point, but I think hopefully it's not anymore. Although I will also tell you, Todd, you know, here it is July 21st that you and I are talking. I did a meeting just a week and a half ago, and probably 80 to 90% of the audience raised their hand that that was their first acre meeting ever. So I'm sure those people, you know, that are just now going to the effort of trying to listen, find out about acre details and understand, I'm sure it's still confusing to them. I literally had people attend 3, 4, 5 meetings over the course of this year trying to, you know, get the latest rules, get the latest data, get the latest analysis. It is a somewhat complicated the first time or two that you hear it. Now, after you digest all the rules, I really don't think it has to be that complicated, especially with these calculators that are now surfacing, U of I's, the Iowa States of the world, things like that. I think that greatly helps producers get a handle on this.
What are the things that you try to teach off the bat every time?
Well, we have to get past the hurdles. Or not past. I know some people can't, and that's their honest decision, and nothing wrong with that. But we have to get out on the table what the hurdles are. So the last thing I want to do is have somebody enamored with the numbers but not understand the hurdles, as I call them. Very similar to crop insurance. We had years ago, when GRIP was fairly new, Todd, we had a lot of people sign up for GRIP because they liked the potential payout numbers, only to realize later that it didn't cover certain things. It had some limitations. Well, same thing here with acre. I think it's been much talked about how it has higher coverage levels, potential higher payouts than the countercyclical program, but we also got to make sure that the farmers understand what those potential hurdles are and can they live with those, because that's where the individual decision comes down. Can they live with giving up 20% of the direct payments each and every year? Can they live with it being binding on their land, not on with them, but to the land itself through the rest of this, or through the 2012 Farm Bill? And can they, can landlord and tenant agree? If it's a if it's a share rental arrangement, then all parties have to agree. If somebody doesn't want acre, then none of them get it in that situation.
Doug, thanks so much.
Anytime, Todd. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Doug Yoder is with the Illinois Farm Bureau. You've been listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. You have a great week. And remember, if you'd like to hear this program or other agricultural programming from IPM, you can always visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.